Our text for this morning is the verse 11, Matthew chapter 7, and verse 11. And the Lord Jesus is speaking. And the Lord says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more," mark those words, "how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The words we have read form part of what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord repeated these words when one of his disciples had asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." He repeated the words then in Luke 11, verses 9 through to 13. What was added to those words? "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" But we see the Lord repeated the words. It's not the same occasion, two different occasions. And here the Lord then repeats those words. How the Lord, the Father in heaven, will give much more to them that ask. So in teaching his disciples about prayer, one of his first lessons about the matter of prayer had to do with constancy. Here we have it again in the verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And as we've considered these words in recent weeks, we have learned that the word "ask," "seek," and "knock" are in the imperfect tense. The Lord means, when you ask, go on asking. The Lord meant, when you seek, go on seeking. When you knock, go on knocking. It's interesting that the Lord taught this lesson after the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He gave them the pattern prayer, and then he gave them a parable about prayer. It's interesting the Lord used such a parable to emphasize the need to go on praying, because the Lord evidently knew and obviously knew how discouraged his people become at times when they pray and there's no answer. That was the first lesson he taught them. When you ask, go on asking. Don't be giving up. When you seek, go on seeking. When you knock, go on knocking. In other words, the Lord was saying, don't give up. Luke 18, verse 1, the Lord again said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." That word "faint," that's what it means, to give up. It means to desert your post. And so the Lord says, men ought always to pray and not to give up. Men ought always to pray and not to desert their post. So you see how the Lord is encouraging his hearers, in particular his disciples. When you pray, go on praying until you get the answer. So here he's speaking about constancy. There's also simplicity here. Simplicity. Ask, knock. Three very simple words. Yeah, these are the words the Lord Jesus himself chose to describe prayer. You think of it, a child in kindergarten would know what those words mean. They would know what it is to ask. They would know what it is to seek. They would know what it is to knock. And again, as was said, these are the words the Lord used. Prayer. The Lord is showing us is simply asking, simply seeking, and simply knocking. It is a simple business. We may agonize in prayer. We may wrestle in prayer. We may strive in prayer. But it's still simple. The Lord isn't looking for some university education before we can communicate with him and pray to him. Good to have education, but the Lord says, when you pray, just ask. When you pray, just seek. And just knock. The simplicity, the constancy. And then there's the necessity. If we want the Lord to do something, if we want the Lord to meet some particular need in our lives, what have we to do? We have to ask. We have to seek. We have to knock. That's necessary. If we want the Lord to answer prayer, well, we need to pray in the first place. If we want the Lord to meet a need, we need to ask him to meet the need. If we want the Lord to save a soul, well, we need to ask. We need to seek. And we need to knock. Keep knocking until the door opens. Keep seeking until we find. Keep asking until we get an answer. Remember, this is one of the first lessons the Lord taught his disciples. He gave them the pattern prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. And then he gave them a parable about prayer. And the parable was this one here. About being persistent and constant in seeking the face of God in prayer. And here, the Lord then says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Every parent knows how to do that. Every father knows how to do that. And maybe grandparents more so. But if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? There's our subject for this morning. The generosity of our God. The generosity of our God. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give what? Give what? Give good things to them that ask him. We need to ask. And the Lord Jesus himself is the one who's telling us this. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? The generosity of our God. I don't think we'll get the message finished this morning, so we'll have to divide it into two. But what we want to look at, first of all, is a relationship. upon being asked by the Lord, and Lord, teach us to pray. The Lord responded by saying, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, the very first lesson that the Lord taught the disciples after they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. The first lesson he taught them was about the relationship which they have with the God of heaven, with their Father. When ye pray, say, Our Father. And every blood-bought child of God can look to the God of heaven and say, the God of heaven is my Father. I'm related to him through the blood of his. He's my Father. Christ is my Savior and my elder brother. And the Holy Spirit is my comforter and the earnest of my salvation. Is it interesting that the Lord, first lesson, was about the relationship between his disciples and the God of heaven. He's your Father. When ye pray, say, Our Father. And here it is again. If ye then, being evil, how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father? You're related to him. He's your Father. How much more shall your Father, is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him. So here the Lord, first of all, regarding the relationship, speaks about our Father. Of course, no one knew our Father better than the Lord himself, his only begotten Son. And the Lord here emphasizes that relationship. Your Father, which is in heaven. He's your Father. He makes it very personal. He's your Father. And your Father will give you much more than any earthly father if you ask him. What can we say about our Father, which is in heaven? First of all, we can say he's a good Father. We can say he's a good Father. And we have his only begotten Son's word for it. Because we read in Matthew 19, and there in verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, the Lord Jesus replied and said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Of course, Christ is good. He's the good shepherd. But here he emphasizes the fact that his Father is good. There is one good, and that is God. Who is God? He's our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And this is something we should always keep in mind when we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. We're coming to a Father when we pray. We're coming to a Father who loves us, who cares about us. And he's our Father. David said in Psalm 119, verse 68, Thou art good and doest good. Speaking about God. Thou art good and doest good. Therefore, when we pray to our Father, we may be confident that whatever Father does for us, it'll be good. It'll be good. Now, things may take place. And we may think to ourselves, well, that's not so good. I didn't expect the Lord to answer prayer that way. But we should remember that our Father, which is in heaven, gives good things. And while at the time it may not appear as being that good, it's a case of waiting and seeing. Because our God knows, does for us, it will always be good. Always. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercy are over all his works. All his works are bathed in the mercy of God. This is a great incentive to pray, is it not? A great incentive to pray. No. Whatever God, our Heavenly Father, does for us, it will be good, because he's a good Father. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, and no other measure nor end. Good Father, our Heavenly Father. We can also say he's a gracious Father. Our God will not deal with us as he would with the ungodly. He always deals with us as his children. How do you deal with your children? You do anything for them. Our God, our Heavenly Father, deals with us, his children, in an even greater way. How much more? And as his children, we always experience the gracious nature of our Heavenly Father. That's what each one of his children can say. My Father is a gracious Father. He's not a bad-tempered Father. He's not a wild Father. He's a gracious Father. He's gracious. Jonah was one who recognized that when he prayed. Jonah prayed in Jonah 4, verse 2, I knew that thou art a gracious and merciful, slow anger, and of great kindness. Not a lovely description. And this came from the lips of a man who had rebelled against God. I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. That's our Heavenly Father. That's the one that we come to when we pray. Gracious. Full of great kindness. And slow to anger. What a blessing to come in prayer to such a good and gracious Father. And the words before us emphasize that. How much more. There's his grace. Shall your Father which is in heaven give good things? He's good unto them that ask him. A large verse with large promises, and yet it comes to near the end with a small word of three letters. Ask. It's all we have to do. Ask. He's a good Father. Gracious Father. We can certainly say He's a generous Father. That's what we see here in the Savior's own word. How much more? Well, there's His generosity. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? We read about the man of God said to Amaziah, remember what he said? Amaziah thought he was going to be at a loss. He's going to lose out by obeying God. But the man of God said to him, the Lord is able to give thee what? Much more than this. 2 Chronicles 25:9. The Lord is able to give you much more. Much more than this. He's generous, you see. Our God is the God of the much more. And the Apostle Paul spoke about the much more of God. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that according that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What do you think of that? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And it's His power. So whatever we ask from our Heavenly Father, listen, He's able to give us much more than what we ask for. He'll always give you more, always. Give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There it is. The Lord says, prove me. Put me to the test. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Much more. He always gives us more than what we ask. He's good. He's a good Father. He's a gracious Father. He's a generous Father. Well, is the Lord here speaking about our Father? He would speak about our fellowship. I think it would be safe to say that a disobedient or rebellious son need not expect to receive anything from Father while they're in that rebellious state. I remember those days when I lived at home with my parents. If I didn't behave and do what I was told to do, my father would just say, well, you're not going there. You're not going out. You're not getting this or you're not getting that. Because I'd been a disobedient child. I'd been a disobedient son. And so it is. We are disobedient to God, our Father. Do you think then we're, when we pray, he's going to just give us whatever we ask for, even though we're living in disobedience to him? Not living for God. Not walking with him. No, that's not going to happen. We need to be in fellowship. For the son that is in harmony and fellowship with his father may expect to receive those good things from his father. Good things. So how may we expect our heavenly father to answer our prayers if we're not walking with him? Not in fellowship with him? If we're not in communion with him? You can't expect God to answer prayer then. Can we? It doesn't work that way in our homes. To be sure of an answer to our prayers, we must first of all love our Heavenly Father. This is, of course, what our Heavenly Father expects from us. The dear Lord reminds us of that. Matthew 22, verse 37. Thou shalt. So no ifs or buts about it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Our Heavenly Father expects us to love him. We can take our example from his only begotten Son and our Savior, our brother, Christ. Did anyone love the Father in heaven more than Christ? He did only those things that pleased the Father. And the Father said to him, of him on three occasions, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I am well pleased. And so when it comes to us as his children, we are to love our Father. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Remember what Solomon said to his son? Proverbs 23, verse 26. Solomon said, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." That's some testimony, isn't it? My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. What do our sons and daughters see when their eyes observe our ways? That would be true. Love, indeed, if we gave our Heavenly Father our heart and love him with all our heart. That would be true sign of love for him. And then we may expect answers then to our prayers. As well as a love for our Father, there ought to be surely a likeness to our Father. We just quoted the words of Solomon, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." When a son has his eyes good father, you will want to be like him. We have a good heavenly father. We've already seen that. He's good and gracious and generous. He's kind, long-suffering, merciful. Would that then not prompt us to say, I want to be like my Heavenly Father? And our Heavenly Father wants us to strive to be like Him. He wants that. And if we do strive to that end, then we may expect answers to our prayers. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord, your God, is holy. Our God, our Heavenly Father, is holy. We are told, ye holy, for without holiness no man shall see the Lord. But if we are holy and strive to be holy, then that means we want to be more like our Heavenly Father. Again, our Father's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, tells us, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. See, he's teaching his hearers, I want you to be like your Heavenly Father. Now, we're not going to be perfect this side of eternity, but that's our goal. That's what we aim for. And surely if we honor our Heavenly Father by striving to be like Him, He then will honor us by answering our prayers. Our fellowship with our Father will not only include love for our Father and likeness to our Father, but surely it would also include for our Father. Would that not please our Father in heaven if we strove to live for Him? Not to live for ourselves or live for the world, but to live for our God. Matthew 7. And there in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I will be entered into the kingdom of heaven, the Lord says. All those who do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Well, first of all, it is to receive His Son as Savior. That's His will. His will is to live for Him. His will is to serve Him. Living for our Heavenly Father. And no one knows more about doing the will of the Father than the Lord Jesus Himself. What was He able to say about His praying to His Father? John 11, verses 41 and 42. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always. That came from the lips of the Savior, who always pleased His Father. always did those things as his father. And what was he able to say then? I knew that thou hearest me always. Finally, for this morning, we have considered the Father and the fellowship. And then we have his favor. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? There's the favor. How much more shall your Father, like the way the Savior, he's your Father. Yes, he was the Father and is the Father of the Lord Jesus, but here the Lord says he's your Father. When you come to pray, remember, he's your Father. And your Father will give good gifts unto you if you ask him. The Lord's teaching his disciples about prayer. When we look at the words of our Savior, we have seen that they speak to us of our Heavenly Father and his favor towards his children. How much more? A natural father will favor his children. But the Lord says, but how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask him? How much more? And just as we have seen, if we have a great relationship with him, our Heavenly Father, then we can expect him to favor us. For we read over in Proverbs, and there in Proverbs chapter 3, in Proverbs 3, in the opening four verses of the chapter, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. There's a father's advice to his son. Those words come to us from the Lord himself. And our Heavenly Father would say, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Mark the words again. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Favor. We've really already covered the ground there mentioned in Psalms or Proverbs 3. About being in fellowship with the Father, about following the Father, about serving him, about loving him, about obeying him. And what is the end result? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And the dear Savior reiterates that here, does he not? ye being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? In Proverbs 3 there, the words good understanding, those words may be rendered good success. Good success. So God favoring his people, favoring his children, can be put down to good success. Refers to the Lord answering our prayers. Being successful in prayer. Therefore, let us seek the face of our God. Keep this in mind. He is our Father. We are his children. And he will only give us good things. Good things to they that ask. Proverbs 119, sorry, Psalm 119, verse 58. Psalmist says, I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. That's another aspect of prayer. Praying from the heart. Not just saying our prayers, but crying to God with my whole heart. That's what the Lord's talking about. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask him? Lord willing, next Sabbath day, while this morning we've dealt primarily with that relationship, he's our Father. Next Sabbath morning, I want to consider the readiness. Readiness. How much more? There's the readiness of our Father. How much more? He's ready to give. To give. Good things. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee for the encouragement that we receive and glean from thy word. And O Lord, wherever we turn, in the scriptures of truth, there'll be a word for us there. A word to encourage us. A word to lift us up. A word that'll put a spring in our step. And O Lord, have us to take this word to heart and to remember thine own word there in that verse 11. Every time we bow the knee in prayer, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask him? Have us, Lord, to get a hold of those words. Pray over them and pray through them. Our Lord, we pray that for any who are unable to stay, Lord, we commit each one unto thee. Grant everyone traveling mercy. And dear Lord, in thy will, return us to thy house this evening. We might learn more of thee and about thee. out of thy precious word. We pray in the Savior's holy name. Amen.